Blog Talk Radio.
All right, all right. We're live.
Hey, man.
Hey.
Right.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to HubNet News.
Are we better than CNN coverage and MSNBC combined?
We're going to show try to be.
That should be our motto. News coverage.
It's a great day and blessing to have us all back here together. It's been a couple weeks, but we're here and we got a lot to cover. Who wants to start? I don't even know where to start.
I'll start.
All right, go for it, man.
I'll start. Everybody's favorite topic, number 45.
Oh, Lord.
Okay. I'll back off of him. I say, first of all, Aretha Franklin's homegoing was real nice.
Mm-hmm.
8 hours long. But I never seen a funeral that long. And when I got home, the people called me and said they had so many jokes about that funeral. It was pitiful.
Well, you know, Brother Darius, you know, it's been a lot going on, and I've been hearing and seeing a lot of people talk about the bishop touched Ariana Grande. And as I looked at the video, I didn't see him do anything out of character. When he put his hand around her, as you got to remember, some people have muscle issues, and his hand was moving as if he had a muscle issue, not as if he was groping her. And so I think that, again, it's just another way for people to attack those who are trying to spread God's word. I don't believe that he did anything out of character or was wrong at what he did. I think that he was right and in order. And if it was malicious, and if it was him trying to be flirtatious or whatever, then God to deal with him. God to deal with that, you know. But I just think that it was done. I don't think it was done out of malicious intent or trying to be funny or just to touch her. I really don't believe so.
Yeah. I forgot to mention after I got home that Friday evening, I was minding my own business. I was looking on Facebook and somebody out the blue and in one of the inboxes. So I don't know who is this person. They took a picture of Aretha Franklin in her casket.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, as much as after my grandfather died, I couldn't do it. And I said,
people so disrespectful. We got people who just don't believe. I think it's disrespectful. We just do it. People's headstones and all up in their caskets and stuff. I just think it's disrespectful. They should have had a casket closed just for the family to view, you know. But you know, especially with the paparazzi, I don't think that she should have been filmed that way or photographed that way.
They had her by at that the National African American Museum in Detroit, and they put like two different outfits, and they had all the fans lined up to look at her. I was shocked when somebody posted that picture on the day of the funeral. I was like, now who posted this on Facebook?
Well, she didn't have a lot planned. She wasn't as detailed as John McCain did for his own, but she had some input. And throughout this week, because they gave her about a good week or so, right? The idea of three different dress changes was her input.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted, you know, we got to remember she is the original diva.
Oh yeah,
you know, and so you know three, and I'm not talking about some bargain basement outfits. She was dressed to the nines. She knew which outfit she wanted. she didn't have a lot of input, but the whole idea of the casket being open for the people to see on multiple days with multiple outfits, that was all her doing. Everything else they left to the family. You know, because as you know, she didn't have a will. So,
right.
Yeah, so it wasn't a lot of planning. Not, you know, she didn't have the time to plan everything out. Well, she had it, but I don't think she took the time like John McCain did, you know.
Amen. Which is a, you know, it's almost like a, black folks don't put wheels together. You know, again, I said on our first Hub News session that we'll get insurance on our phones, but not insurance over our lives. We'll get insurance over the things that don't mean nothing to us, but the things that we ought to do to keep our families from having to struggle or having to deal with life after their death, we don't do. And I don't understand why we are like that. Why we are like that as a people? I don't understand it. And I
say that
think
again.
That we all,
you don't understand what? Say
why
again,
we as John. Why we as a people, as black people, most of us do not want to write up wheels for ourselves and have things in order when that time comes. Instead, we sit back and we just don't do nothing about it, and then we leave the burden on our families. And Aretha, you know, a bazillionaire, didn't even have a will. I mean, like, how does that work? Like, you know, you have, you know, you're the queen of soul, and you're, you know, everybody loves you, and you make this a lot amount of money, and you're telling me that none of your people that protects you and keep your money together didn't tell you to have a will? You know,
Aretha had a lot of money too. So what are they going to do about that? Because she, yeah, that don't make no sense. That up in age, I mean, at some point I don't know. You know how we do family. She had a big family too. So there's about to be some stuff behind that.
That's
well,
what
you know,
we did.
Go ahead.
I'm not familiar with what Michigan law is, but it'll go to the next kin. But the problem is, if there are any snakes in that garden, believe me, there's going to be a lot of hissing. We saw the same thing. Saw the same thing with Prince. He passed with no will, and all hell broke loose between his family. Prince, when he died, he didn't have a will. You know. So and look what they did to him, you know, because he didn't make final arrangements to make sure this gets done, that gets done, you know, like Jay-Z said in his song, you know, when he died, they turned his crib into a museum. Got people all walking through and, you know, so it's, I mean, you got to, to your point, you got to plan that stuff out and you got to take care of your business because what it boils down to, it still comes down to that same microwave mentality. The right now. It's an old saying my grandfather used to tell me, some black folks can't think 5 minutes in front of their face. And as you can see, no matter how rich you are, how famous you are, it hits you.
I think too, it comes down to, because I can speak for myself. I think us as a people, we think we ain't going to die. We think that we're going to live up in age. Whereas, you know, it's hard for us to talk about it. You know, even as Christians, it's hard for us to, you know, realize, you know, we take it hard that Big Mama gone. And, you know, we just really don't, you know, we could be up now in the Aretha Franklin situation. She was up in age. Not Michael Jackson, Prince and, few other folks, they was getting up there. And then you hear other celebrities, white people from you know, regardless if they got money or not, other nationalities, not just white people, they don't have a will in place or have something in place to, at least at the very least, you know who the money's going to or who's in charge of your estate. They get their stuff, their affairs, and they get their affairs in line, and they are taught to be that way, you know, at a young age. We don't, you know, that's something that we don't teach. My mom didn't teach me, you know, her parents and my great grandparents and my grandparents did. They believed in insurance, you know, and leaving a beneficiary. But as far as wills, there was no will. You know, who got the house, who was over their estate, who was in charge of burying them and stuff like that, you know. So I think it's culturally, it's just something that we just through the generations, we don't do.
My grandfather passed, he didn't have no will, but he had life insurance. With that life insurance, we paid for the funeral expenses and what we're currently doing, we just cleaned up some of this house and gave away some of his clothes because he didn't have a will.
Yeah, that's because y'all had a good family that came together and said, let's take care of the business. But, you know, as I have recently learned, just with so many deaths after, I think, yesterday was number four. And he didn't have a will, you know, and he didn't have a will. And watching, but like his 401K, his Social Security, all the other things, and he had a life insurance policy, all watching the people around him scramble like roaches with the light on, it just sickened. And it was not about let's put him in the ground in the most gracefulest possible way. It was about, oh, this is owed to me, this is owed to me, this is owed to me. So you had three or four people all scrambling to see what they can take. and him getting buried was an afterthought. So, you know, to all those who are listening, please get your wills in order. Double J is right. You know, we didn't have much, so we didn't have no time to think about no wills through the history of black folks. But we're in a day and time where diabetes, heart disease, and all the other ills that comes with this world, they're wiping us out. You know, we're working people. We came a long way. You know what I mean? We came a long way. And
amen.
No matter whether you are a working person or you're a successful person, the will isn't about you. The will is about the people you're leaving behind with your stuff. So, you know, you got it. And I just giving her the benefit of the doubt, maybe she didn't want to think about it. It was too much to handle. And she kept putting it off and didn't get a chance. Just giving her the benefit of the doubt.
Amen. And that could truly be it right there, you know, because, you know, regardless to what goes on, death scares a lot of people. And to think about, okay, I'm here, women, and you're telling me that I will not be here the next. I mean, that scares people, you know. But we have to look beyond us. You know, we have to look beyond us and seeing who we're leaving and who we're going to be hurting in the process, because somebody has to carry on, and it's just important. It could be us before them. You know, young people are dying out more than the older folks.
Yep.
And you know, so we have to do the same thing. We got to, you know, pretty much practice what we're preaching because we're dying out faster. And you know, so we got to do the same thing with our stuff.
This is a little bit different with Aretha, though. I'm sitting up here thinking of publicists, attorneys and stuff like that throughout her life. Ain't nobody said, Aretha, you need to get a will, especially knowing that she was getting sick. That don't sound right to me.
Well,
somebody had to suggest it, and Aretha was against it. I don't think I can tell. That's offensive to me.
Yeah.
But that's what I was saying. That's what I was saying. Like, all the people that I'm sure she had around her, and nobody told her that it was time to get your affairs in order. You know,
yeah.
And I don't know.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, usually whoever, you know, like your attorney, especially if she's incorporated in any way and she had counsel that's connected to her incorporation stuff, the minute they hear you get sick, that's the first thing they want to talk about. So, you know, but again, we don't know. We weren't behind the scenes, so we're you know, just gonna give it a benefit of the doubt and say she just, you know, I don't wanna think about it. I'll deal with it later. Kick the can down the road, and unfortunately she just didn't get down to the road with the can. So all right, let's we got another 42 minutes, so let's switch topics real quick. What else, anybody got anything else?
I got this lady here in Tarrant County, which is outside of Dallas here in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
This black lady, Crystal Mason, she got sentenced to 5 years for unintentionally voting while on probation.
And that's Texas, right?
Yeah. I'm like, okay. Then she's petitioning that and appealing that, but she got 5 years. You got a voter, a felon, a lady. I'm sorry, a felon, a lady that voted for Trump back in 2016, and she got fined and put on probation.
Double standard. Welcome to double standard in America.
But is that the same state?
She was a white lady in the same state, tried to vote for President Trump twice, and was charged with voter fraud, but was only sentenced to 2 years probation and a $750 fine. That doesn't make no sense. I'm just like, the thing that kills me is stuff be so obvious. You know, the difference in the way they try to treat black people versus other nationalities. It'd be so obvious, but we people just sit back and want to, you know, don't say nothing about it. Other nationalities, judges, lawyers, or whatever. We want to sit up and talk about what they know what black people are about. They want to sit up and talk about they don't know why black people are always talking about they going through. You see what's happening, like that lady in the Starbucks who spoke up for the two black dudes. She was hot. She was the one that called the news. She said that don't make no sense. Some black guys weren't doing nothing. She was acting like she was more fed up than the black dudes were. So, you know, that kind of stuff, that don't make no sense. So meanwhile, you got one the lady that got the probation, the white lady, her she tried to do it twice.
Well, it's, I have a couple of issues with this story. You know, the imbalance and the heavy handedness towards the black sister versus the white lady, that's enough to make you want to puke. But
mm-hmm.
The state of Texas, and anyone who knows me knows how I feel about the state of Texas. If I had my way, let me be quiet because we have a past on the line. But anyway, the citizens, the liberals in Texas got to come together, straighten their backs out, unbend those knees, and start changing and getting those good old boys out of there, okay? It's one thing when you got a felony, and every state has its own rules and laws about it. It's one thing you have a felony, you can't vote, or you're on probation, you can't vote. We get that. You go there and they turn you away, say you're not on a list, and then they pull you up. Nope, you can't. You're a felon. Okay, you tuck yourself between the legs and you go home and cry about it. All right.
Stop right there. The part I forgot, since you brought that part up, is the reason why the way she accidentally did that is because she went through her church and voted. I forgot that part.
See, I mean, when it comes to the probation and voting, depending on what state you're in, you can have a felony and continue to vote. Whereas some states, you can't. You lose your right to voting. And you have to do whatever you have to do, expungements and all that other stuff to try to get those rights back through the court system. But to get penalized for doing it, that is so aggressive.
Jail time
and cash and all this other stuff is to turn it into a summary offense and all, to do anything against someone who's done their time and they're trying to get reintegrated into society and they're trying to cast their vote, for you to punish them even further is insane.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane. There's no way in this world I would ever want to live in that state. I don't think you could put a pot of money right there waiting at my doorstep for me to move in, and I'm going to walk right by. I can't do it. Texas is one of those states that I don't get it. I just don't get it.
She casted a provisional ballot at her local church, which wasn't counted, and
that's how they caught her.
Yeah,
right,
but
the way
right.
the provisional ballots were, they go through a different way. It's a different system. Someone's actually sitting there reading this little thing, you know. So that's how they got her. Now, I wonder if it would have happened if she would have actually went to the booth.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm.
Different accountability system there.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's heavy. All right, Pastor, what you got?
I was just reading a headline that says, let me go back to it. It says that the Catholic Church, what we were talking about a week before last, where the Catholic Church was dealing with all of those different sexual abuse scandals. And so I read one. This one comes out of Australia. But just listen to this. So it says that Australia's Catholic Church has rejected calls for priests to be compelled to report child abuse when it's revealed in confessionals. So the government was urging them to that the priest had to reveal when a child is being or has been molested when one comes to confess, and the church has rejected that notion. So the church says that it would accept 98% of the recommendations made by the high-level government inquiry into child sexual abuse, which uncovered shocking accounts of widespread abuse inside Australia's religious institutions. But church leaders said that they would maintain the sanctity of confession, arguing to remove it when infringed on religious liberties.
Mm.
Yeah, so it's... So if somebody comes to them who is confessing the sin of child molestation or child sexual abuse, that they cannot and will not divulge the information.
Mm. Wow.
Which, unbelievable.
Yep. And you know, again, I don't condone this at all. I believe that it's a shame and a disgrace for someone to be able to admit that they have touched a child and believe that after they supposedly sins are forgiven by man, that they're fine, that they could go on and continue doing what they're doing. There is something seriously wrong with this picture. And sooner rather than later, God is going to remove the blindfold off of this church, in any church, in every church that where a child or anyone is being harmed due to sexual misconduct.
The remarkable thing now is, how is it in this country, or even outside in this world, but definitely in this country, are they able to get away with it?
Because inside this world and outside this world, money rules all. The Catholic Church is sitting on billions and billions of dollars, even in gold. Let's not talk about the money. Let's just talk about the gold that they have. When they pillaged Africa and took all the diamonds and the gold, they have all that. They went over there saying that they were giving them charity medicine and all of this, and the whole time was ravaging the land.
Mm-hmm.
So, at the end of the day, you know, money talks. After a while, you know, a person keeps throwing up static, throw them a couple of hundred grand, guess what they're going to do? Keep quiet.
Yep.
Don't think that the Catholic Church has not paid out hush money to some of these families where the priests have touched their children.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, where is the federal government in that?
There's a separation of church and state.
Yep.
There's separation.
You can't just go kicking in the doors and dragging them out, kicking and screaming. It will set off a chain reaction that's not going to be pretty for the federal government. Not only that, to the pastor's point, you know, not only do they have a great abundance of wealth, they have a lot of political capital.
That's right.
You know, there's no way you're going to become president without kissing somebody's butt in the Catholic Church.
That's right.
So, you know, even the same evangelicals who Trump met with last week, who said if the Democrats win, it's going to be so much violence and this and that, and blood and shit.
Yeah.
You know, the big ugly picture that he painted, they stomach this worthless pile of garbage. You know, they stomach him. And anyone who would stomach him just to make sure that their interests are protected is scary. But even they understand the power of the Catholic Church. You know,
so
when
the
comes to their
church is running through this country doing whatever they want to do, like they the mafia, or like
oh no,
you know.
No, they go through the world doing whatever they want to do, not just here,
and not to mention, they said and I've heard many times that some of the biggest gangsters were some of them popes. That whatever they said, bam, it was done.
Mm-hmm.
So we never know. I mean, you know, there have been some preachers that have been some of the biggest pimps. You know, it's not just the Catholic Church; it's the Protestants too. The Protestant Church does the same thing, have done the same thing, covered up these preachers that have touched young folk, young kids. They take them, they move them to another district, and slap them on the wrist, tell them not to do it no more, and eventually it end up happening again. I mean, you would be amazed. You'd be amazed at the way things happen in the church. You know, it's sad. You know, I just continue to press forward because I'm hoping that sometime that I can start the change of that, you know, and get away from that kind of stuff because it's you know, it's damaging to all of us, especially those who try to do right.
Yep. And those that's why a lot of people have turned to other, all these different made up religions and stuff like that. They just
exactly.
and atheists and holiness and all this is like, what's the use? How, you know, wow, I don't even know what to say. And this is not something that's been going on. I mean, it's just started happening. It's been going on.
Yeah.
I mean, you can go as far back as you know when Catholicism has been around for eons, and they've always had their hand in parts of Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you go back, you go all the way back to the Council of Nicaea. They, you know, the forefathers of Catholicism was there. You know,
that's
and
right.
to the craftsman's point, they stole so much stuff from you know from their European. They're nothing more than European colonists who backed behind the cross. If you go and look at the history of England, and you look how. Just take a look at the War of Roses, and you look
mm-hmm.
how two cousins went to war, and the Catholic Church was a very important part of that. You know, it's been kingdoms that fell because the Pope didn't bless some marriages that would have made a kingdom stronger.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always been here. It's always been around, and unfortunately, it's always going to be here. You know, some, you know, conspiracy nuts may say if there is an Illuminati, you best believe there's a seat with the Catholic Church in.
Oh, yeah.
Say that again.
You know,
yeah.
You know, there are some conspiracy theorists that believe that if there is such a thing as the Illuminati, there is a seat with the Catholic Church sitting at the table. So I am
wealthiest people. Yeah,
yeah. I'm a firm. It's not so much as a believer. If there's, you know, evidence to back that up, you know, all you got to do is go read guys from like Adam Weishaupt, and you go back and Pike, Madame Blavatsky over in the Bavarian era. You know, she's had. Some people said she practiced dark magic, and then she was seen working with the Catholic Church in time. So, hey, it's not really spooky. A spooky idea when you look at history and you look at how they've been a part of so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
Well, and to even take it a step further, you know, during that Council of Nicaea, everything that pretty much we do today, every holiday that we pretty much believe in was pagan. When Constantine wanted to bring the churches together, the pagan side and the Christian and this Christian church, he wanted to be able to have them to worship together. So when he did that, when they said the winter solstice, we're going to say that was the time when Christ was born. We're going to use the fertility time to say that's when he rose from the dead. The fertility god was a bunny that carried eggs, the Easter bunny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Mother's Day is the mother of Asherah, the wife of Baal. Father's Day, serving Baal.
Mm-hmm.
All of these things that we do, and you know, Halloween itself, we already know what Halloween was about. Halloween
yep.
was a time where they felt that the spirits of the dead could come back and torment the living, and thus they put on costumes so that when the spirits would come up to them and see that dead skeleton or whatever it would be, they would turn around and go somewhere else. So that's why they put on costumes. In those times, if you had a pumpkin on your porch, a pumpkin on your porch means that you can come in and possess one of my family members. A carved pumpkin with a face on it means that I have just killed one of my family members to appease these spirits.
Mm-hmm. And you know, they had us carving pumpkins in high school. I mean, in school.
That's my point. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
You know, all of these things are stuff that we do every day.
Mm-hmm.
We let our kids do it. You know, you know, again, it was Julius Caesar that brought forth the modern calendar that we have right now.
Exactly.
And before that, before he even came back to Rome, they went 40 days, almost 2 months, without even knowing what day it was, because it was such an uproar going on in Rome. So all the days have really been lost. So they don't know when Christ, and if you are a study of the word, you will find that it said that most theologians believe that he was born around the late August, early September time. But still, again, it's a theory. But we don't know. We don't know when the time of the true resurrection happened. However, we celebrate because we know it did happen. We know that he was born. We know that he died. We know he rose again. Now, we don't have accurate dates. It's the same when it happened, but we know that it did. But we have to be so careful to watch what we let in, because it can damage us at the drop of a hat.
Yep. I could not agree more. I have everything you spoke of. I've been into it and studied it since the 90s, and you know, it's one of those things that people don't really think about. You know,
right.
You ever get those people? I get a bunch of inbox. Ooh, Team Virgo.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay, what makes me a Virgo? Oh, well, you're born in, you know, September. I said, yeah, well, you know, September used to be the tenth month, right? So what was I then?
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm sorry, it used to be the seventh month.
The seventh.
That's what that's what the sept stands for. Is Latin for septum, for seven.
Mm-hmm.
So what was I before then?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, September used to be the seventh month. You know, so it's like. The month before Julius Caesar changed everything into the Julianic calendar, this used to be November. When you do the one of the things we have to start doing as Black folks is doing the etymology of words that we say every day, because we don't know what we're saying. We're just saying it because our mama said it, our teachers told her to say it. So when you say November from Latin, it used to be the ninth month. That's what novum means. So, it's from the Pramana, goddess of orchids, who was honored in November.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's like even the day of the week. Today is Sunday, named after Sun Dog, the Babylonian god. So,
right.
I mean, that's just that's just the world we live in. We live in a world where the victors get to write history.
Here's a great one. Just a little fun fact: the month of July represents Julius Caesar.
Mm-hmm.
And August, which represents Augustus, who was a ruler at the time, as well. He was a ruler. Got mad because he did not. There was not 31 days in the original calendar, so he took it from February and added it to so that he could have 31 days in his month. That's why you got the leap year.
I never forget.
What?
I never forget. I was sitting in class and we was going over this topic and. Somebody jumped and said, Augustus was a petty prick, wasn't he? You know, but to your point, I mean, June, named after Junius, one of the Roman goddesses of marriage. You know, as you said, Julius Caesar, you know, this is something he did in 46 BC.
Yeah.
He said, I'm going to revise, I'm just going to change everything around.
Uh-huh.
So what were we doing before then?
Yep.
You know, what were we doing before then?
Uh-huh.
And he himself was a pagan.
Him.
Huh?
Yep.
We need to do a show on this. So many people are talking about it. You know, I've talked with the pastor few months back about a guy that was talking about, what was his name? What was his name, Dante?
Melchizedek. Melchizedek.
Yeah, Melchizedek.
Melchizedek.
Yes. I had never heard
of him before. Are you talking about the king of peace?
Salem, yep.
Yeah. Salem was translated as from peace, yeah. Well, here's something funny. That was almost one of my son's names.
What?
Melchizedek. Yep. Melchizedek.
You were going to name your son that?
My oldest son, Hakim. I was going to name him Melchizedek or Malachi, which means my angel. It was one of the There's some people believe that Pastor
Heavy. Why that name? Why?
Well, it's not the name. It's not the name. It's who he was.
That's right.
Huh?
It's not the name. It's who he was. I can't remember which book. I'm rusty on my Bible. Maybe the pastor can help me. But remember the verse where it says even Jesus was under the order of Melchizedek. I can't remember, was that Romans or Hebrews?
Hebrews.
Yeah.
Hebrews.
So,
Well, you know, and not to get it, not to can screw with what we were talking about, Sister Janet, that a man told her, is it okay to speak on it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, she was talking to somebody who said that he was of the order of Melchizedek. And I was saying, no, that's not possible. Because the order of Melchizedek goes because of a person having no beginning and no end, and that's impossible for a flesh man to say that. And so that's what we were talking about. Not so much the man himself, but what this particular person believed that they were in. The man himself was a man who was a peaceful man in whom Abraham gave homage to as well. But as far as saying that a man that walks around like we do, who has no God-like powers, to say that he's of the order of Melchizedek.
Somewhere around 1969 and 75, there's been this theory that came out that says that Melchizedek was either one of three things. Either Melchizedek is an office, like saying the president, and this person comes in the name of, you know, as Melchizedek, and then it's passed on. That's why the whole theory is he has no beginning of days or whatever, no mother, no father, however they said it. That was one theory. The second theory is Melchizedek was an angelic being in the flesh who came and helped the prophet. Because if you go through the scriptures, he has popped up throughout the scriptures. And he's helped. You can help me here, Pat. I know he helped Abraham, and he did something for Abraham, and he pops back up again. And even in Islam, when you go through you'll see he pops up there, in their scriptures as well. And he's recognized in other cultures. I can't forget what his name in Hinduism. But other cultures recognize him. So some people believe that he's an angelic being. And then the third one is that he is Malachi. They're one and the same. Because one of the longest debates I've seen in theological history is, who is Malachi? Can somebody tell me who he is? You know, so and some people believe that Melchizedek wrote the book of Malachi. Now, this guy that you're talking about, 9 times out of 10, he's probably one of the people who follows Dr. York. If anyone doesn't know who Dr. York is, go look it up, and that'll be homework for the class. Dr. York walks around calling himself Melchizedek since 1975.
He called himself Melchizedek.
Yeah, he's the black guy that built the black pyramid out there in Athens, Georgia, or whatever it is. I'm very familiar with his doctrine. It's very wild. Space aliens and angels are the same, and the Anunnakis and you know, the giant ship in the beer room smacked the earth and split the earth in half. That's where the moon came from, and then the aliens came and created the man, blah, 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 blah. So, and he is Melchizedek in the living flesh, and when he passes, Melchizedek will move on to someone else. So you're going to come across people who says that they are of the order of Melchizedek. They're probably talking about him.
Uh-huh.
And he has millions. Yeah. He has millions of followers. He's currently in federal prison.
What?
And his health is ailing.
Like
and
most
his health is ailing.
End up.
Yep. So, but, you know, and the worst part is he had a massive cult. And it rivaled the Nation of Islam. He worked with them. He was friends with Malcolm X. He was, you know, to ask you some facts is if you ever read Alex Haley's book on the autobiography of Malcolm X, in Malcolm X, according to Haley, Malcolm X ran into a little dark Arab man who spoke no English. But the dark Arab man was able to teach Malcolm X a lot. Now, anyone who's ever made Salat or practiced Islam knows that's impossible.
Uh-huh.
You know, you won't know the gestures without the means. You don't know what the words mean. You can't teach someone without explaining it to them. So when the word came out, and of course he sensationalized a lot of pieces of that book, and then of course the movie, I'm like Spike Lee, that's the book that Spike Lee made the movie off of. So he sensationalized a lot of things to make it a good read. Dr. York was that little Arab name. They just happened to run into each other. And this is before Dr. York was gaining his power, because he became one of the people in Harlem, Philadelphia, Chicago, Atlanta. The Ansarul Allah community was rivaling the Nation of Islam and rivaling the Sunni and the Shia here in Philly and here in many points of America. Because of him, which is another unreported thing, Bill Clinton put out the Arab bashing. One of the Arab bashing rules came out of D.C., where law enforcement were literally giving Muslims a hard way to go in the 90s. If you even look Muslim.
This dude here was convicted for pedophilia.
Yep. That's what they got
him
on.
He's a pedophile.
That's what they got him on. Remember, they did the same thing. Remember how Elijah Muhammad was knocking up his young girls?
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, I watched it on Malcolm X.
Yeah, so, again, we don't, you know, I wasn't there. I don't know. But that's the scuttlebutt, and they had to take him down because he was walking around telling black folks they were greater than what they needed to be, and he had stores. I just passed one earlier today when my family took me out, all eyes on Egypt. He was heavy on Egypt. He was heavy on Islam. He was heavy on the Hebrew, heavy on the Israelites. And his philosophy basically is all of these different cultures and religions all came from the black source. As black men lived through all of these different cultures, we've been the Hebrew, we've been the Christian, we've been the Muslim, we've been the whatever, the Cushite, we've been the Ethiopian, we've been all these different things. So we just need to recognize that. That's what, I mean, I get it, but yeah, he had a cult. And
yeah.
A lot of people still believe in his stuff. A lot of people are still running around, and I can remember vividly in my head, I might even have one of his books around here somewhere, where he's dressed in white, he's flying through the clouds, he's holding up the one finger with the afro looking like a black Jesus, and he's calling himself Melchizedek.
They got a movement to free him the founder. This was in April 2018.
He is never getting out of prison. He is too dangerous. These dumb white boys find him to be extremely dangerous. Extremely dangerous. He has a black following. It's not as big as Farrakhan, but it's street level. That's the difference. Farrakhan out there, his people selling bean pies and pass out, you know, final calls. You know, their stuff is business oriented. It's organized. This guy, his stuff is street level. I'm talking about standing on the corner with speakers and saying all kinds of crazy stuff. And there's people that are listening. And he opened up stores and he put people in businesses and, you know, he does all that stuff. So, but that's where that philosophy is coming from. The order says it. As soon as I heard that, well,
we're going to have to definitely do a show on this.
Some things I don't trifle with. I'll be honest with you. I've seen some strange things in my day, and I have a lot of friends in the Ansarul Law community. You can find some. I have a lot of friends who are in his Nubian Islamic Hebrew community. He has his own language called Nuwapik.
He
wrote his own language. I've read tons of this stuff because I have a philosophy. How can I fight you if I don't know what you think?
Man.
And I have sons, and I don't want my sons reading it and walking around, you know, dressed up and doing his thing, and they don't fully understand how the stuff he says fills a void that's missing in our black youth.
Mm-hmm.
And in some of our black adults, we're missing something. That sense of purpose is missing. And they feel as though they can't get it from the church or they can't get it from the mosque. So people like him steps in and fill the void.
That's why he's dangerous.
Remember that song, Hit the Gas Face?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Remember KMD?
Yeah.
The two little dark-skinned dudes, KMD? Well, the group, the all the performers that get the gas, let's say you had MC Surge and you had the white guy, the other white guy, Pete, whatever, and then you had KMD.
Yeah.
KMD were straight out of Dr. York's. He named them KMD.
Mm.
And I don't know if you ever heard of the 5% Nation, which believes black man is God.
Yep.
So that's the two white dudes from I forgot the name what they're called, but they are actually white 5%ers.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Hmm.
White 5%ers.
Yep, the dude with the glasses. With the glasses. He was born a Jew. He's from Jewish descent, and that's why his hair. He looks like a Jew. You know, he has all the features: big nose, dark hair. But he gave up. You know, and he felt as though that he subscribed more to the school of thought of the 5% Nation. This is the guy that owns Nas's first year, first two albums in terms of the pen. You know, Source Light, whatever. You know, he controlled Nas's publishing. He's the one that brought Nas out. So, and of course, Nas is a 5%er. So, I mean, you want to do a show on that, we could do a show on that all day. Because some of our favorite hip-hop artists go against your theological. Well, all your hip-hop artists from back in the day go against everything you believe in. That's the sad part, you know. You know, but again, it's your experiences and the things that you believe in that get you through. You know, I'm a potpourri kind of guy. I don't care what you believe. If you believe what you believe and it's good for you, it keeps you from committing crimes, hurting, and you're able to help people and live a good life, knock yourself out. I'm all for a more inclusive type of thing. That's just me.
I'm not. I'm the opposite.
I believe in Jesus Christ. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, I can give you the sign off.
Well, he's my Lord and Savior, so I'm happy with
him. He gets the side eye for me. I'm like, I don't understand you. Like, what's wrong with you?
Well, you had to also remember, Sister Janet, that as I and I'm sure Brother Hakim and many others have studied world religions, it becomes easier for you to know and to be able to accept other religions after you learn about them, because actually the original source to most of the religions go back to God. It is just that they serve God in different ways. Now, when man becomes the focal point of worship, that's when that religion or that religious practice will find themselves on the other end of the stick. But I do know that Islam, Judaism, and even Christianity all fall under the same banner. God is the God of all of them. They all serve the same God. The only reason right now why the Jews and the Palestinians or the Jews and the Islam are fighting is because their cousins fighting over a birthright.
All you got to do is look at Abraham.
Cousins fighting over a what?
A birthright.
Because
the original, see, the way that it was all set up was the firstborn gets the birthright. The second son and the sons after that become almost subservient to the first son. The first son delegates and everybody else do. So when Sarai gave her maidservant Hagar to Abraham and he had a child with her, he was the anger God, because Abraham was so weak that he fell into it, because you got this young, pretty Egyptian woman. And he, of course, he did what he was supposed to do and had a son with her. But that wasn't the promised son that God gave him, that God told him. It was between him and his wife, Sarai. So when that happened, they brought forth a son. By this time, this boy is about 13 years old by the time the promised son is born, and thus the birthright should have went to the firstborn, but it wasn't the promised. Then the birthright went to the promised son, which was Isaac.
Yep.
In the Islamic faith, it went to Ishmael. Through the years, the Ishmaelites are the Islamic faith. Through Isaac came all the Jews, Jesus Christ, David, Solomon, or Ruth, David, Solomon, Jesus Christ, so on and so on. So they're fighting because of a birthright.
That's why these schools are fighting each other?
Yes.
Yeah, that's an ancient old fight. And the prophet Muhammad is directly from, he's a direct descendant of Kedar, which is the direct descendant of Ishmael. So you remember, you got the 12 tribes of Israel, but one of the things
just
people
like
talk about is the 12 tribes of Ishmael.
That's right. Because God because Abraham went to God and said, if you're going to bless Isaac with 12 kings, you got to bless my son Ishmael the same exact way because he's still my son. And God said, okay, I'll make 12 kings out of him as well.
Yep.
Wow.
The black kid from Kedar.
We need to have more conversations like this. Very interesting. Very interesting.
We forgot all about the news, y'all.
Yeah, and guess what, guys? We're out of time. This has been an awesome discussion. We should call this bomb dropping episode. We just dropped all kinds of bombs. Another great show. We'll pick back up on HubNet News next week. And everyone have a great night.
Wonderful.
All right.
It's been my pleasure. God bless.